Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
Alrighty, this is KX93.5 and you're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. We'll be right back after this.
Tracks deep.
All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I'm happy to have in studio Patty Truman of Many Talents. How about that? Are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
And it is true.
All right, so... you've been here before, and we had a little studio mishap, and we weren't able to get a recording. So some of this is going to be recap, and probably some of this will be new, because you can't quite ever do anything exactly the same again. So you have been in Laguna for quite a while.
Yes, I like to say I came with the covered wagons, Ernest. Been here a long time, and I'm not into numbers ages.
I've stepped in a hornet's nest before, so I'm not touching that one. not before this with you, but with other people extending age comments. Anyway, so did you grow up here in Laguna?
Basically, yes. I was actually born in New York, but my father had tuberculosis, so we followed the sun. Mother finally found Laguna, for which I am eternally grateful.
Right, because you could have been in like Vegas or something.
No, we had a home here and in Palm Springs. So as a youth, I went back and forth until high school, and I couldn't do that anymore. Stayed in Laguna.
Okay. And so what was it like back then? I mean, way back then, but, you know, what was your impression of Laguna at that time?
All right, here I go.
All right.
I love your topic, the importance of being, because actually growing up in those times, we were able to just be mm-hmm. who we wanted to be. We had slightly controlled freedom, lots of freedom.
Right. Right, yeah, not a lot of regimented time and parents taking you to here and there. To
When I get together with my former classmates or friends, we do reminisce a little that it was a time in America which will never be again. We had so much joy in just following our own passion. Mm-hmm. We had the sun, the surf, the sand, fun, and as I said, control freedom. We were able to walk to the movie. We were able to date after a certain date, but we always had to be home by 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And your father always met the young man at the door and let him know he was taking something very precious away with him.
Always happened to be polishing that shotgun.
No shotgun. And we were to be home at 10 o'clock, and once we were a little late, I can remember there were four of us, my girlfriend and I, and two dates, and our fathers were standing outside. And, you know, they talked to the boys. They made the males more responsible, which I think we need more of that today. But that's another subject for another day.
Dig into that can of worms, yeah, some other time.
Right. And I was reminiscing how many of the youth of Laguna were able to follow their passion into their adulthood.
Okay.
We have many artists. Of course, Hobie, we watched him shape his first boards when he was in college. His father insisted he go and have a business degree.
Oh, okay.
As well,
just,
even though he knew what he wanted.
Just not laying around the beach all the time.
No,
yeah.
No. And there were actors. One of my friends, Chad Burton, we drove to LAX because he kept talking about it and shipped him off to New York, and he became well-known back there and also taught at the actors, Lee Strasberg's acting school in New York.
Okay, wow.
And Bill Sorrells, who has returned to Laguna, was up in Hollywood for years, and many others, I'm sure. And some, as you know, went into the clothing industry, some into the surfing industry. Mm-hmm. So it was wonderful because, and musicians also, a lot of the boys owned ukuleles.
Oh, yes.
And it was so wonderful, Ernest.
Like our Tommy J.
We would sit on the beach and sing. We'd have beach parties. The boys would go out abalone diving and bring them back to the girls early in the day. And we would cook abalone chowder, and our mothers would help us. And in those years, we could have a bonfire on the beach, and there'd be a large group of us, just sheer fun, laughter, music. The boys would play, we'd all sing. It was really a magical and in many ways innocent time. Yet we had such a sense of freedom. We didn't have a lot of fears, and no one locked their doors, and all the town knew that the young people of the town, they came to the football games, they knew who was playing. I was a song leader and a cheerleader and a baton twirler, majorette.
The triple threat.
Yeah. Well, through different years. But it was great
fun.
I think it was Hillary Clinton wrote something that it takes a village to raise. Well, it was rather that way. But the downside for the kids was if you were straight off the path, your mother knew about it before you ever got home.
And I'm sure you only know about that from other people's experiences.
You know, kids are kids, but we were good kids. But, you know, they were little things in those days.
They had the rules were calibrated differently.
That's right. You know, our parents were more about decorum and, you know, so on and so forth.
Yes,
but
manners.
One of our friends' mother was an operator at General Tell, which was number please.
Yeah.
So she listened in on all of our conversations. So, I mean, we got away with nothing.
Better than the NSA, right? She could didn't have to figure out who the people were. She's like, oh, that's Billy.
I'm sure there'd be lawsuits today, but then we just knew that Mimi, my friend's name was Mimi.
Like a bonus. you know, you got to be there, but, you know, listen, think of all the juicy conversations you're getting. You know, you got subject matter.
You're gonna it took us a while to figure out how this information was getting out, and then it dawned on us.
That's funny.
It was. And, you know, I think about the artists who so loved our absolutely beautiful and unequaled coastline and who have gone forth and created beautiful works of art representing Laguna. Yes.
So, you know, art, we talk about Laguna as an art colony or artist colony. So was it that at that time, or was that, like, you know, you see the names Wyckoff or Goff or others.
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, Ernest. Very much so. Laguna was kind of an art town, an adjunct from the people in Los Angeles. And by then, you know, it took a long time to drive down here in those days. And early before the real roads and everything, they came. And there were, you know, the Hollywood types, and they just built quick little beach cottages, of which I still own one. I'm grateful to say that was my mother's. Single wall construction, little stilts. I mean, how it's still standing is amazing, but that's what Laguna was. And they came in the summer, and how Laguna really got into the first little real estate boom was during the Second World War. The young officers out in El Toro, the pilots, and they were doctors and engineers and so forth, and college gentlemen. Many of them fell in love with Laguna. They came over the Sandpiper, which is notorious. That's what it really went on the map was with the when the Marines were in town in those years. And they vowed if they lived through the war, they were going to come back to Laguna.
Wow.
And there were a number of them that were, as I say, doctors and professional people that came. And that was our first big
influx.
Big for that time. Yes. And that began Orange County. And then, as you know, Garden Grove and those areas built homes like on the GI Bill
for people to live.
It was a whole different venue than, luckily, we did keep in Laguna. We have been able to still keep the essence of Laguna, mm-hmm. I think, even though it has, of course, progressed. But
sure,
progression is part of the universal principle. And
Yes. It's just managing that, right?
Yes. Controlled progression is really what we need, but you can't stop and say, I'm here, pull up the drawbridge and don't let anyone else in, which some people have.
You can say
that.
It, but, you know, we got to build the drawbridge and
mentality.
Get Canada to pay for it.
Yeah. And I had a friend who lived in Los Angeles, and she always said, Laguna is something you earn. And many people did come down and buy a little tiny cottage.
Okay.
For their retirement, and then they would rent it for a number of years. And in those years, I was in escrow at Old Bank of America, which is where the Kush Gallery is now, right there.
Oh, yes. My store was in that building upstairs where the Thai massage place is now.
Right, right. Exactly. That was the Old Bank of America, very prominent. Yeah. And we do the escrows, and they'd usually be furnished.
Okay.
You know, people weren't into this decorator business, you know. And so the most dispute you would ever have is if the rocking chair went with it or it didn't. No, that was Aunt Minnie's. It can't go with the house. And in those years, you know, there weren't faxes and copy machines.
Oh, yeah.
So we had five... what was that paper called?
Oh, the yes, NCR or carbon paper.
Carbon paper.
Nice.
So if I made a mistake, I had to...
white out five sheets?
No, there was no white out. It was an old eraser. I mean, yes, we're talking a long time
ago. What kind of prices were we looking at back then?
I believe my mother bought the house on Anita Street for like $3,000, I think.
And it was a stretch. It was a stretch, right?
And my grandmother had one on Thalia at the same price, I think. But, yeah.
It's almost the money you have in your pocket now these days.
No. And you know, Ernest, another thing, there was dignity in that time. You did not talk about money.
Okay.
There were some people who were wealthy, mm-hmm. and it didn't matter. It was a pretty level playing field.
Okay.
It was more about who your family was and your breeding.
Right.
If you were educated or not. But the way you presented yourself in the world was very important. Who you were, if you were your word, if you were filled with integrity.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. And as a family unit as well. I mean.
Absolutely.
It carried through kind of the generations. The dad did this. He's a doctor. And the son is, you know, he's on the right path.
Right. But it wasn't snobbery. It wasn't designer clothes. We didn't have a lot of money. It
wasn't conspicuous consumption.
No. And some of us would get little summer jobs and help pay for our school clothes.
Okay,
But it was understated. It wasn't what your whole life was about, was how you looked. And and there wasn't the makeup and all of that. It was a very natural time because mostly we were in bathing suits and at the beach and frolicking in the water and learning to surf. And really a wonderful time. I had an older sister, Lorraine Pepper, Newport became, and she was 5 years older, so she had boyfriends, and they would take me down to San Onofre.
Oh.
And the older boys, men, would take me out on the surfboards and tandem surf with me.
Oh, huh.
That's as close as I ever got to stand-up surfing. Now the girls do it early here, but we didn't. We loved it.
Well, the boards were bigger then, right?
Oh, my Lord, if they got away from you. In fact, one of my fiancé, not my fiancé, my sister's fiancé, who was a Navy SEAL, Ernest, was killed by one of the boards at San Onofre.
Oh, really?
It was tragic.
Oh, man, wow.
When those big wooden things came up,
they weren't foam.
You were gone. You were gone. That was a very tragic thing. And and we had another young man in high school that we were all in Three Arch Bay climbing the big rock there.
Yeah.
And he fell off and was killed. So we faced real life as all the frivolity and we wanted to be good girls, you know, good kids.
Yes, because otherwise.
But the whole town felt that and gathered around the parents. And it was a true community.
So looking at it now, what do you, I mean, obviously it's progressed. There's, you know, different waves of people have come in and bought into town. And so what does it feel like now? Is it tragic? Is it?
Well, it can't be tragic because it is, and it's where we are.
Sure.
But I used to be able to walk them down the street and know practically everyone, or they'd know me.
Right.
How's your mother? How's your dad? You know, so on and so forth. Now, there's this whole group of people that I don't know, but they seem to know each other. So what I think is happening in America and is a new paradigm is the need for, well, I call them sacred circles, but little clusters of people that can get together where they can be authentic and feel safe and talk about what's real in their life.
Form community.
Yes, I do it through teaching classes, but, you know, there are many other ways. There are art ones or a little writing group. I'm in one of those. And it's very important because we absolutely thrive on community. We need each other as a country and as a family and as a community.
All right. Well, on that note, we need to take a break. And so this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm here with Patty Truman this morning, and we're talking about Laguna then and now. So we'll be right back.
Thank you.
All righty. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am, I guess, reflecting with Patty Truman. And so we were talking about you growing up here and what life was like then and what houses cost back then. You mentioned that you spent quite a bit of time at the beach.
I did, Ernest.
Is there anything that you drew from those experiences that you'd like to share with us now?
Absolutely. St. Anne's Beach is a small patch of sand I love to visit. This was the beach of my youth, and this is the shore where I introduced my babies to the great Pacific Ocean, both as a physical reality and a joyous beach day and a metaphor for life, because I think everything we would ever need to know about living life could, if we would listen and open to the lessons, would be available to garner here. First of all, the vastness of the ocean is a metaphor for the immensity of the universe, and that expands your consciousness and has you think beyond the obvious, the material. Okay. And about the great galaxies, of which we are only one tiny one. And then the sea is also a wonderful teacher, teaching us awareness and choices.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And value of developing skills. Because, as you know, Ernest, one day the waves will be gentle and seductive and another crashing. And it's learning to gauge where you put your foot forward and what waters you go into. Other days there's undertows, which are not obvious. And that's a huge lesson to learn, to swim on down the shore and not fight against the force.
Right.
Because even in life, if you fight against it, it resists you even stronger. You have
right,
to,
it'll just
as
wear
they
you
say,
out.
Go with the go,
go with the flow.
And
maybe that's where that came from.
Maybe. And sometimes it's also important not to even enter the waters. And that's a good lesson for children, not to be drawn into the seductive collective consciousness of being cool or doing what everyone else is doing.
Right, so, right.
Another teaching to enjoy is to respect the vast power of the ocean and have a buddy system or a mentor in life or apprenticeship.
You learned that at the beach?
Absolutely, absolutely. There are days you never went into the water alone.
Okay.
And it wasn't even wise to be at the beach alone without a lifeguard or so forth.
Right.
There are other wonderful days. Even the sun, as beautiful and wonderful as is, it can be our enemy.
for days and weeks after.
I think there is the lesson of overindulgence. And we're seeing a great mass of that in our country today. And overindulgence, in my mind, causes most of the world's grief and problems.
Hmm.
It results in alcoholism, drug addiction, greed, obesity, lust, avarice, dishonesty.
Right. There's a lot of ways to fall off the path.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes. So we want to also learn, like the sun, we had to protect ourselves from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for one, have paid the cost in these years, yes, for being a little sun worshiper. Yet the beach appears so benevolent, sitting there in the silence in the morning. If I sit there and think about the vicissitudes of life, and then listening to the rhythm of the wave break upon the shore, then I have moments to reflect upon the lessons I wanted my children and now my grand and my great-grandchildren to learn. And I realize the truths available to me while sitting by the ocean at St. Anne's Beach, that this place is still my teacher, my mentor, my friend. Yes.
So all this progress hasn't washed that away?
It has not. Every day is a new lesson. So there's the importance of being. And you can learn that even by sitting on the beach. If you're open and aware and listening.
Okay, wow. Look at that. So you started your career in kind of the real estate business.
Yes.
Titles, I guess?
No, I was actually a banker first, as I told you, with Old Bank of America. And then I became trained as an escrow officer.
Oh, that's it, escrow. That's
so I knew about loans. I knew already about customer service and being of love and service. And then I was riding my bike with my young daughter and was hit by a car on Broadway and had a broken back.
Ooh.
And it was laying there healing. I always say the good Lord just put me on my back long enough to look up and listen.
Ah, yes,
for
yes.
4 months.
He was like, hey, I want to talk to you.
That's right. And one of the, this is kind of funny, I had two books on my bed. This is kind of personal, but one was
Don't worry, it's just us.
Okay, Dr. Hugh Misseldine, The Inner Child of the Past. And I did a lot of inner healing. This was 40 years ago before anyone even heard about The Inner Child of the Past. So I cried, prayed, wrote. And, you know, parents and then to the children, there's a forgiveness to go both ways and releasing. Mm-hmm. And then the other book was Dr. Wayne Dyer, who was just becoming known, and it was The Erroneous Zones. Mm-hmm. Well, Ernest, I thought it was about sex, and I thought I'd finally learned something.
So did I. My mom had it. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get with Jim, and they're gone. I'm going to check this out.
Well, anyway, it was a good book, but there was one sentence in there that arrested me, and that was, where in your life are you immobilized by fear? And I realized when I ran and opened and ran the escrow company for Laguna Niguel Corporation, the salesman kept telling me to go and get my license. They'd say, go get your ticket, Patty. You'll be really good at it. And I had not yet embraced my own intelligence, and I was afraid I would not pass the test.
Oh.
So that is what came up, laying on my back. Anyway, I made up my mind to not tell anyone that I was going to take the test. And of course, I did pass the first time, and I sold a house the first day. And the rest, thank goodness, is a very happy history. I was able, one of the other fruits of that laying on my back was I knew that my life was a lie and my marriage was a sham.
Oh.
And I had to get a divorce, which took about 2 years.
That's...
No, it was good, but it was hard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
but, I mean,
that's
a reckoning.
It was. But if we don't stop every now and again and listen, we don't face our own truth.
Mm.
You know, and my way of dealing with life was to strap on the red shoes and dance the dance as fast as I could.
Okay.
And be numb. I'm not numb today.
Distract yourself.
No,
from...
I want to be as alive as possible. Anyway, I made up my mind to take the test, pass the test, and thank God, you know, I was very blessed and was able to build some economic basis for myself.
And
the rest
right?
of my life.
Yeah,
40 years, I'm still doing it.
Okay.
Have a huge ranch up in Northern California, 5,700 acres. It's almost 28 million, and we're just perfecting the mineral title right now.
Oh, wow.
And then I'll be really marketing it. Yeah.
And so are you going to subdivide it?
Oh, no, it's not mine. I'm just listing it. It's owned by a family.
Like that's a pretty good job of getting yourself together.
No, but I've learned a lot. And that's another one of my trajectories is being a lifetime learner. So it's fun. It's fun.
Now, how is that being a lifetime learner? Don't you feel like, you know, I should have graduated by now?
I don't think we ever graduate. I studied with a PhD once who said, the last day of your life should be the most productive day of your life because you know more and you have more to give
got
others.
Got all the gifts all lined up.
And if you hold that thought, you approach these wonderful years in a whole different way. You're here to serve, to give, to be a mentor this time in your life. And I take that very seriously, teach classes, and I'm available for counsel for people.
And time is of the essence?
Yes, time is a human illusion and construct.
All right, well, we may get to that, but okay. We have to take a break.
All right.
So at this
Speaking
time.
Speaking of time.
Yes, at this moment.
A double entendre.
Yes, a nice innocent one. Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. My guest this morning is Patty Truman, longtime resident and spiritual seeker of Laguna Beach. We'll be right back. This is KX93.5.
Thank you.
Look, where has the time gone? This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman, and I'm in studio today with Patty Truman, and we're talking about all the lessons you can learn from the beach. We're talking about Laguna Circa house price $3,000. we really haven't planned what we're going to talk about now. We don't have a huge amount of time, but is there anything else that you wanted to share with our listeners, or just with me, you know, and I'll tell them not to listen?
Oh, no, I do. You know, the art of being is the importance of being.
Turning it back towards me. No.
No. In Southern California, as we all know, we're all addicted to Mexican food.
So, the king of the foods, yes.
Right. So when we moved here many, many years ago, and my parents were just becoming acquainted with others, there was a couple, the Byrds, who actually had the Byrds restaurant and so forth.
Oh, I thought I was thinking the band.
Way, way back. Old Laguna will know that.
One little correction, though. Cake is the king of foods.
Oh, well, anyway. So they insisted we go out for a Mexican dinner. And here we had come from New York, and we knew nothing about Mexican food, but we were willing. And Mrs. Lucero had a Mexican restaurant located where Well, it was Security Pacific, and now it's where the vault and
the other bank.
Yeah. And it was an old house because it had just been a house on what was then used to be a dirt street, which, of course, it was paved now. And it was painted with all the primary Mexican colors. Mm-hmm. And so we were introduced to Mexican food, and Mrs. Lucera came to the table. I was with all adults, reached out her elegant hand. She was tall, thin, with the full Mexican skirt with some sparkles on it, beautiful white blouse with handmade lace, big earrings, her hair slicked back, black, with a flower of some sort behind her ear. She took me into the kitchen where she had this huge cage with a parrot. And she and I just fell in love with her, Mexican food, everything from that moment on.
Hmm.
And thus we became addicted, as all
people who moved.
Yes. And she was just a warm and beautiful presence. And later the property was sold and she moved her business to Santa Ana, which unfortunately we never went. Because, believe it or not, in those years, Santa Ana was a long way away.
Well, yeah.
Little Laguna.
The roads weren't quite the same, so.
And the cars, my dear. And there was, during the war years, you know, there was gas, I was just a little kid, but gas rationing and
all of that.
You were conservative. You were very conservative. That was the thought. And the same couple, the gentleman, Tom Bird, he was one of the air raid wardens during the war. We all had to cover our windows.
Yes,
there were plane spotters. A local family had a house up on Alta Vista area, and watched the planes, and they learned to and there were soldiers that walked up and down the beach at night patrolling the shore because there was fear of Japanese submarines. That seems so long ago,
right, so far removed.
Right. And the most poignant thing for me as a young child, my mother and I would be down shopping, and a convoy of soldiers would go through town, and we'd practically weep as we saw those young boys being sent off to war and God knows what.
Right.
And we'd stand and wave. And I guess it was a way of sending blessings. I didn't know to identify it that way then, but those were very poignant moments. And and sometimes when our British...
On that note, there is one community info item that I didn't get to talk about, and that is that it's Memorial Day weekend, and so there's the pancake breakfast that the fire department will do at Heisler. I think that starts at 7 a.m., and then there is the Memorial Day observance that our American Legion Post 222, and I guess our VFW will do at Monument Point. I don't know the time exactly. I suspect it's like 10, but you better check that part. And on that note, that means we're out of time.
All right. It's been wonderful to share, and it's evoked old memories for me, Ernest. And again, my passion and love for Laguna, my place on the planet.
Thank you so much, Patty, for coming on this morning. And perhaps we can get you back again some other time and we'll continue our discussion and our lessons. All right. This is KX93.5. Thanks for listening. Coming up next is Steve Reed with the Coast Highway Shuffle.